I really can't think of a more fitting gospel for this weekend. We may, hearing this, immediately want to jump to evaluating ourselves. What kind of soil am I? We have to remember that Scripture, everything that the church does and is first and foremost about God. And so we can actually miss maybe the most important part if we jump too quickly to assessing or evaluating ourselves. What is God like? Here is this sower who goes out and sows irresponsibly. It's a waste of seed by human economics. Under the path, under rocky ground, places where there are already thorns. And yet he sows generously. Jesus is telling us about the attitude of his own heart. He is not a God who needs to be convinced or tricked or cajoled into giving to us. He is not a stingy God. He is generous. And he's especially generous in seeking to bring about his Father's will, which is holiness, God's own life within us, right? Growing in love of God and love of our neighbor, and in the number of souls that are gathered into his Father's kingdom. This is especially where the generosity of God, the generosity of the sower, is turned. So now, with that in mind, with the truth of the generosity of God, as well as the why of his generosity, the hope that he has of what will be cultivated, now we consider the kinds of soil that are recipients of the seed. Because the beautiful reality is, Jesus, in telling the parable, is giving us the hope that our story is not done being written yet. If we identify with one or many of the unfruitful locations or soils, there is still time for us to be different, to allow the soil of our hearts to be tilled, the rocks drug away, the birds shooed. But we need to recognize how those things might come to us. Everything that we are going through is ultimately about the fruitfulness of the kingdom of God. I don't need you to be convinced of journey in faith as a concrete plan. Again, I need you to be convinced of the generosity of the sower who sows even into the field of death and brings new life. So we look then at how we might be like each of these unfruitful pieces of ground. Of course, when we are grieving, the evil one is, we had to choose a bird like a vulture. It looks, draws close to those places where we are feeling weak, sorrowful, and he picks at it. And he uses voices that may sound like our own, that may sound like our friends, that may sound like commentators on the internet, and turn our hearts little by little against believing that the seed can sprout, that there is anything good. It may sound like, why did I ever even bother with this? How could anything ever be as good as it is now? And even at times, then we can become mouthpieces for that. So it's time to shoo the birds away, to not allow them to linger on the ground. The rocky soil. There are all sorts of things at a church, at a parish, that are good. Friendship, community, heritage. And undoubtedly, these things are good. But they are not the good. They are not the purpose for the existence of a church. And if what we're finding is that those things are what we are grieving, that they are the flashpoint for our sorrow, for our anger, then we need to accept that the Lord is actually challenging us to let the roots go down deeper, to recognize that perhaps there has yet been a shallowness to our relationship with Him, a kind of transactionalism. Again, those things aren't bad, but they aren't the reason that our Lord established the church. They are not the primary fruit that He is seeking to cultivate. And so He desires to give us more, but it means going deeper in the soil than we thought we could. And then that thorny ground. And we hear the temptation of riches. And we go, well, I only have X amount in my bank account, so that can't be for me. But let's remember that really the only thing that we actually have that is of any value is our free will. And so this thorn that surrounds the seed and chokes it out is not what's in our bank account, what kind of car we drive, vacations that we take. It's our self-will. And so if we are finding ourselves saying, I'm not going to give myself in ministry, or only on my terms, or I'm only going to one of the churches within the pastorate, are we not allowing our self-will to strangle out what the Lord may want to bring, even if we don't know what it is? But that's the thing. The thorns give no space to the seed to bear fruit. They can only focus on their own growth. Jesus sows generously. There is no question of that. And He sows in unfavorable places, at unfavorable times, and He is able to bring fruit. But will we be soil that cooperates? He warns the disciples, that prophecy of Isaiah, that there will be people who indeed hear and not understand, look and not see, because they don't want to, because there is a desire only for their own way. May that not be said of us. I have here homily from one of my predecessors, Monsignor Toomey, who's responsible actually for the building of this building. It's a beautiful homily. It was the announcement that we're going to invest in building. Monsignor Toomey has the understanding, as he spoke to our ancestors, that they were successors in the faith who Providence placed in easier and more opulent circumstances, and are now asked by that same authority of Providence to do their duty, even as our ancestors did. You may go, well, yeah, and look at what he did. He built this building. It's the mother church of Cedar Rapids, and it's not going to have Sunday Mass. What does a mother do, brothers and sisters? It gives life. It sends out. We can look back and go, I'm a descendant of those people, so I must protect what was given. But Monsignor Toomey had the sense that he wasn't in a parish full of descendants. He was in a parish full of ancestors, people who generations later would be nourished by the faith, by the Eucharist that he says is sheltered in this building, to go and bear a fruitful harvest. And indeed, he concludes, "In my own name, I bespeak for you generosity and sincerely hope that the high idea which your pastor has of his people will be made still higher by the announcement of your generosity and of your faith. Sacrifice is the essence of our religion, and no sacrifice that we can make will ever equal the sacrifice that Christ made for us. May the church be a reality, and it will be, if you be not afraid to make the sacrifice. We are spiritual successors of that brave statement and call of faith. And I can't say it better than my predecessor did. We are once again being asked to sacrifice, not by building a building, but by investing our lives, by returning to the generosity of the sower and imitating him, recognizing that this parish, the pastorate, the archdiocese, the church, exists precisely because our God is generous and wants the people already gathered in to grow in love that imitates his, a love that gives everything to the Father and everything to one's neighbor, and a love that bears the fruit of souls that do not yet know him but are gathered in. I know that this is a sad day, that this is not what we wanted. But it has not changed the generosity of the God who sowed his own life in the soil of death. Nor has it changed our call to heroic holiness. So if we find that we've been letting the birds gather a little too long, we haven't drug the rocks out of the soil, we haven't done a healthy weeding of our self-will, then let's spend this Mass doing that. That when we approach the altar, what we're leaving behind are the birds that we've driven off, the rocks that we've drug out, the weeds that we have rooted up from our hearts, so that then as we receive Jesus, we receive his full generosity and trust in the life that he desires to bring, that life within us and the life that he desires to bring by drawing others to his body. This is how we become the ancestors that many generations from now, I pray people will look back on and say, look at what they sacrificed. And I would not be here as a disciple of Jesus were it not for those sacrifices. The sower will never stop being generous with us. May we trust that generosity and then come to imitate it.